appreciate that singing tonight. From beginning till now, it's been great. And I appreciate the great worship we felt in here tonight. And I have a little bit to share in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, if you want to follow along. And if you want to go ahead and get to the next place, we'll read some out of the 7th chapter of Matthew as well. I thank God for what we felt tonight. And I know that He, God, is still on the throne. He's still in control. And He has not changed. And as we trust Him and serve Him faithfully, He will not fail us. Isaiah 35 and 8, if you're there with me and you're ready to go, say amen. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and read this tonight. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And on down to Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 12, and it says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Father, we thank you and praise you right now. God, I pray that you will direct our attention to your word. God, let us learn from it. Let us sow in it, God, and let us grow from it, Lord. We ask that you bless this, that it be none of us and all of you. God, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And I continue, God, to thank you for every time and opportunity you provided for us to give your word. Lord, and I ask that you bless this and be in it, Lord, throughout the duration. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said. Now, church, I know you know me, and I know you're used to me, and you've heard everything I'm ever going to say in my vocabulary, but I want to remind you that I'm just a human being, and I'm just here to preach his word. So you might be used to me, the person, but I want to remind you of the urgency of paying attention to what God has to say. So you can forget about me and let's just get into this as the Lord is leading. I want to share with you, as I begin to pray, I felt very divinely inspired to jot this down. And I want to begin to share this with you. When we let things negatively affect us, our behavior is to try and go around it. And by this, we introduce temptation and the possibility of failure, or what it refers to as wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. This way feels convenient to the flesh. It has an attitude and does not want to change direction or its mind, and ultimately leaves us justified in our choices to fail. Now I want to tell you, we have a whole world that doesn't want to really fix anything. They just want to go around everything. So if God Almighty has declared things to be an abomination, we're not trying to fix it, we're going around it. Politics is all that it does, is to get around and go around and slither its way into having things work for its favor. But I want to issue a decree unto this people and to those that will hear this. We better beware. For if we're walking in a pathway that isn't fixing the negative things in our life, if we're going around trying to find some other means to make it work instead of addressing the issues that we deal with all the time, then one day we're going to find ourselves in the midst of failure that we were never called to live in. Now, God wants you to know something very plain tonight. He did not call you for failure. He has not called you to be defeated. He has not called you to give up. He has called you to be the kind of people that will know the way they need to go. And that is not in the way of defeat. That's not to walk in hopelessness, and that's certainly not to give up. You see, God wants to change your mind. He wants to change your vocabulary. He wants to change your decisions. He wants to change where you go. He wants to change what you do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to start learning to not walk away from the negative things that are going on around you. It's time that we begin to start fixing the problems that are in front of us. Will you agree with that tonight? It's time to stop trying to go around it. It's time to go through it. Look over at your neighbor and tell them it's time to go through it. At some point, we've got to decide that what is negatively affecting us is not helping us. It's hurting us. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the enemy would have you to believe that you can go around this thing and it's going to fix it. I was persuaded for up to 10 years of my life that drug addiction was going to solve my problems. But guess what? 10 years later, nothing was any better. None of the things I had to deal with back then were fixed in 10 years later. All of my feelings, all the things I never wanted to address, all the things that I held grudges against, all these things were still a part of me. He's trying to go around it. But you see, a time finally had to come where I had to go through it. Now, going through it means you're going to have to acknowledge that it's there. How many of you will acknowledge your problems? Are we too perfect to say we have any issues? I'm here to acknowledge to you tonight that there are problems that look me right in the eye every day. But I'm here to tell you I have authority over each and every one of them that tries to come my way. The enemy would have you to think that you have no power and that you just have to deal with this and go around it and just let it be a part of you. But God did not call you to walk in failure. He did not call you to accept sickness. He did not call you to live in the presence of darkness. He has called you to walk in His light. Now let's read a little bit more. I'm not going to be too long. I think this is pretty well spoken here. Turn on down to John chapter 10, and I'm going to read this to you. Beware, as you may not get back around to where you were. For it would most certainly be easier to deal with the negative event rather than to go around it with false comfort. Don't waste your time on the devil's games. Don't waste your time on the devil's thoughts. Stop wasting your precious minutes of life that you have left saying you can't do it. Stop wasting the time coming in here and saying we're not going to have a good service. Stop letting the devil steal from you what already belongs to you and walk in the midst of your adversity and tell it, I'm not going around you anymore. I'm going to go through this because you're getting behind me. In order to move on from something, you've got to go through it so that it can be behind you. I'm glad that I'm 10 years free. I was 10 years bound, now I'm 10 years free. God worked a miracle out of my life. And for that, no matter how many years it's been since it happened, I can always say, Lord, I would not be here today had you not moved in my life. And I look back on that now and I'm reminded, even when I was failing, he didn't call me to fail. We have a whole world that's suffering, but he didn't call them to suffer. There's a whole lot of us in here that can make a difference out there if we just walk the way God's showing us to walk. Whew. Many go the wide way and are unsuccessful. Many go this way and are sitting in churches today with sin remaining in their life. Amen? Or oh me, whatever fits. All of us today should be reminded and warned of how easy it is to get distracted and removed from our journey of faith. When you're walking in the way of God, you're taking a journey of faith. When you accepted Christ and you've been saved 20 years, you've been on a journey of faith. When you're wanting God to do something, whether big or small, and you've not seen it yet, but you're on your way to it, you're on a journey of faith. Now, God don't want you to try to go around something to get to what you want. He don't want you to go around something and say, I'm going to try to do it my way. He wants you to learn to abide in the divine instruction of his word that tells you exactly how you can get there. And I'm beginning to learn, rather than shudder in fear to my obstacles, I embrace them. Better it is to embrace your problem so that you can get a handle on it. Because I tell you, the world we live in today is generally unsatisfied. The church we are living in today is also generally unsatisfied. Do you want to know why? Because we all are trying to go around what God's wanting us to go through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it might hurt. I know it might not feel good. I know you might struggle. I know you may not feel the greatest at times, but if you'll hold on to what God has in store for you, when you go through it, you'll finally get through it and you'll be able to walk in the victory of God's promise. But if we keep doing this, we'll never find satisfaction and we'll evolve into the kind of people that will live with failure. God didn't call you to live that way. He didn't call you to say, I can't. He didn't call you to say, I shouldn't. He didn't call you to say, better not tonight. You know, I know you well enough that you're my friends. So when I say this, don't get offended. I love you. But I miss the days when everybody appreciated my preaching. I do. Don't get me wrong. I know you still do. I know you like it. I know that. I sure miss those days, but something that I've discovered is that people are going to get used to you. And people also have nothing to do with your journey. So even though they may not come up and give you support, I'm telling you, you've got to go on through what you're going through. You can't just stop preaching because nobody claps for you anymore. You can't just give up on your calling just because it's a little bit hard. He said, though we'd be tried as fire, we'd come out on the other side as pure gold. Hallelujah. That means when it's hard to go to church, go through it and go on. That means when it's hard to sing, sing on with all your heart. Go through it. Don't go around it. Stop saying I can't do it. Stop saying I won't do it. Get on with it and say, I'm going to go through this. I miss the days when people appreciated the song. Oh, man. And I know it's an addicting feeling. You go to some other church, you sing the same song you sing at your regular church, and they're ready to go to heaven. Come back to your regular church, sing the same song, you barely got them awake. Woo! Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you that if you're just singing just to sing and you're not letting God move in it, guess what? You're already used to the song too. You've got to learn that when you're in the midst of people that you know, you've got to let God move in a new thing, in a new way, so that he can bless in the moment. That means when it's hard, go through it. It's not always easy. And the greatest blessings you'll ever get don't come cheap. Somebody needs to write that down. The greatest blessings we ever get are not cheap. The greatest gift to mankind was not cheap. It was paid by a great price of the cross. With such a common death for such a mighty God. Isn't that wonderful that he paid the price for us? But guess what? There's something for you to pay. Let's go on. I don't want to keep you here forever. Every event that you let negatively affect you will be a bump, pothole, an obstacle that keeps you from moving forward in the right or straight direction on the righteous or narrow pathway. Now I want you to get this imagery in your spirit tonight, so when you go out here, you think of it in a different way. Something happens, and it becomes, and if you let it sit there, all of a sudden you've got a pothole you've got to walk through, go around every day, right? So I've got to let somebody get me mad, and I've not let it go. So every morning I get up and I don't let it go. Guess what? It's one extra thing that I've got to go around. And before we know it, after we've let several different things occur without us praying, without us being comforted by the Holy Spirit, without us receiving of God's word and teaching to help us, we're doing this kind of thing just to be a Christian. We're having to go around and barely get through our day and still be unsatisfied. But God said the way was straight and it was narrow. He didn't say there was obstructions there. So I've learned that if there are some, that they're ones that I have put in my own way. People don't want to hear that they're the biggest enemy, but I'm here to tell you, you can have an entire church saying preach on and you can still sit yourself down. You can have everybody in the world telling you you're going to get through this cancer, but if you don't let go of fear, you're still going to suffer the wrath of fear. There's something about learning how to go through the pathway that God has given us and to stop trying to go around and go through the obstacles like this. And if you do that, your Christianity will be represented to the very likeness of this behavior. So sometimes you'll be fine. You got it off your mind, that one thing somebody said about you. It's not bothering me today. It's all good in the Lord. I come in, I dance before him. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm having a good time. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah! Dancing, getting everybody to dance. Then I get up the next day and I hear something else, and all of a sudden, oh, I just felt that all over me. Then all of a sudden, we've got something that we should have been able to let go of. Somebody say, yeah, we should have. Something to be able to forgive somebody for. Say, yeah, we should have. Something to be able to move on from. But all of a sudden, we've got to do this. We got to go over here. We got to forget it. We got to say two or three bad things about them instead of letting it go. So now we've done another one of these. And all that God was trying to get you to do was to let go of all of it so that you could do this right here. Hallelujah. He don't want you to go around like an obstacle course saying, I hope I make it. He wants you to stand tall, rebuke the enemy, and get on with your life. Hallelujah. It's time to get on with our life. It's time to stop getting caught in the potholes, let it go, forgive, and be at peace. Every morning, I get up, I tell myself these three things: let it go, forgive, and be at peace. Every morning before I even pray, whatever it is that the enemy tried to put on me the day before, I shake it off. And I tell everybody that ever seeks counsel from me, and if you ever have, you ought to say amen to this. You ain't got time for the devil's games. I tell you what, we have all these potholes in the way. Nobody likes driving through potholes. Nobody likes driving when the road's uneven. And you see this right here, right? This aisle looks fairly flat, don't it? But when we come in and we can't come together, do you see the potholes that are in the way of somebody being saved? Do you see the bumps that might be standing in the way of somebody? It's maybe even standing in the way of yourself. I'll be the first to admit, when I don't get in the fullness of His anointing like I could,
yeah,
then there's bumps, potholes, things that just, they get in the way. We don't want to say they're ours. It could never be my problem. It could never be me. Somebody admitted something tonight. I believe it was Brother Odiva, and I was thinking, oh, that's only him. It couldn't be me. They're the only one that has that kind of pothole. They're the only one that feels that kind of fear. I beg to differ with you. I'm here to remind you that each and every one that's in this room was born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. We all have strifes and envyings and devils and enemies that come to try and get us off the pathway. But I'm here to remind you tonight. I'm here to warn you tonight. I'm here to do whatever I've got to do to get your attention tonight, to remind you the importance of walking straight. To walk straight is to follow God's will. And to walk in a narrow path is to walk righteously. We must learn to keep going on the path that God has set before us, the path forward. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And I know we've studied this in the past. Devil comes to steal your mind, kill your body, and destroy your soul. If we veer into darkness, that's where he roams. Let me tell you something, and you can testify to this. When you feel the anointing of God, your body will not get in your way. Your thoughts won't get in the way. Other people won't get in the way. What time it is won't get in the way. How long the service has been won't get in the way. When you're anointed, you're going to do it anyway. That lets me know that when we are in the true fullness of God's power, the devil can't roam there. Did you hear me? The devil can't roam in God's power. So when he is roaming and we are being tempted, I'm here to tell you, we're walking in the midst of a dark place. You might not think what you're holding on to and won't let go of creates darkness, but oh my friend, you're taking one step further out from the path. And then we get up another day and don't pray. One step further. Somebody tries to encourage us, we blow it off. I can't hear this today. I know I'm not the only one that's ever said that before. One more step. And then we reach to the point of darkness, Doris, where we can't see where the enemy's moving. It seems like everything in the world's trying to come upon us. It seems like everything's trying to go wrong. And I know that God can be a light in a dark place. I know that. But what I'm here to tell you is that we don't just arrive at darkness. It's a gradual thing. We don't just wake up one morning and hate church. There's a series of events that has got you to where you're sitting tonight. Whether you're in a good place or not, there's been a series of events and choices you've made that defines the very essence of who you are in this moment. And I made up my mind that if I'm going to keep living and if I was given another tomorrow, I still wanted to be a minister of the gospel. I still want to come in and give him praise. Whether nobody else does or not, I've decided I'm going to be in that last generation that is looking for the appearing of God. I want to be standing in the midst of that spirit he talked about in the book of Joel, that he poured out on all flesh. I want to be in the middle of it. But most of all, when he finds me, I don't want to be out in the middle of darkness. I don't want to be in the middle of compromise. I don't want to settle like the world has for giving in to the law the way the law would say it. I don't want to give in to what the world would tell me I have to accept. I want to be found in a standard that shows me on my way to a great place in God. We got to get on our way. Go over to your neighbor and say, it's time to go. We can't keep sitting in darkness. We can't keep sitting on the shoulder. God has been our spare tire for too long. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, oh, I'm going to serve you this time. Lord, forgive me today. I won't do it again. Yeah. Not change nothing. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I failed this. And I failed in it too. But I've learned that if I'm going to ask for forgiveness, I'm going to bundle something else with it. You know what? Forgive me for what I've done and help me learn not to do it again. Forgive me for what I've done and help me not to do it again. You know what that's doing? It's urging the will of God to take place in your life. If you're never willing to change your mind, you'll never have new ideals. If you're never willing to be more open and supportive to the flow of God's Spirit, I'm telling you, you won't be filled up any more than you are today. God is a light. Say that with me, a light. He is a light. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now let me tell you this. If we stay in the path of righteousness, God will light the way. You know what that really means? He'll show us how to behave and conduct ourselves. He's been changing me this year. I feel like I'm stronger this year than I've ever been. He's causing me to be able to be supportive across the board like I've never been. He's showing me that other people try just like I try and they need help just like I do. And he's put me in a place now where whether I'm in a public building or inside of my workplace or inside of a church that's contrary to my denominational beliefs, that I'm going to love them the same way that I love me, that I'm going to behave to them the same way I would want to be behaved towards me, and I'm going to give every person I can the respect they most certainly deserve. The world would tell you, only give to those that'll give to you. Then, you know, get life by the horns and just do it your way. But if you do it that way, let me tell you, destruction will be your end. If we say that we love God but do not love the brethren, we live in a lie. If we say that we love everybody but love nobody, we're living in a lie. And let me tell you what a lie looks like. It takes on the form of godliness but denies the power. It says I can be anointed, but it is not anointed because it is not holy. It's a dangerous place to walk in a lie. And I'm here to tell you each and every day, I'm held accountable. It's real easy to want to just pretend like it's okay. I don't know what the church has got into these days. I mean, sometimes we'll go 7-8 months before we'll ever come up to the altar and just simply say, I need help. We've created such a stigma of judgment that if we show our vulnerability, we have to get stoned for it. But I'm here to tell you, I fail every day of my life. And if you say that you do not fail each and every day, you'd be living a lie. We are human beings. We all have mistakes. We all have thoughts that come and go that we know should not have been. But God and his Spirit through us is our teacher, our guide, and our comfort. Amen. And it's to help us learn how to do better than what we have done before. Amen. And the big problem, we want all of God's power, right? Three people want all of God's power. We all want God's power.
But when God looks to pour his spirit out, he's looking down the path. We got some here. We got some over here. Our own home is divided. Our own workplace can't even at least agree to be civil about talking about religion. Our politics, it's just nasty out there today. I don't even know if I can vote this year. I'm just going to be real. It's garbage. I'll tell you right now, you better pray and know where you stand with God. Because you might be saying, Lord, I need you to bless me. And he might be standing there ready to bless you, but he can't find you because you've strayed. He cannot pour out blessings in a lie. He cannot pour out abundance when we are living and receiving and accepting poverty. We've got to learn to change our mind to be different in how we serve him, what we believe is coming, and where we are standing every day. Now, we've got this church thing down pretty good. We can come in and all have a good old time. But is that a good indicator of how you're doing every day because of how you do at church? Should I walk away seeing how much you praise God and think, well, they must have it all together? Or should I acknowledge that, like myself, you probably have things I need to help you pray for? You know, I'm somebody's son. I was somebody's son who was strayed. Somebody loved me enough to pray for me. And there's a whole lot of people that need you to be their mother, their father, their counsel, their help. But if we're too busy not fixing our stuff, how could we ever ask that somebody take the stick out of their eye when the beam lives in ours? You see, what I'm finding is there is a direct correlation of where we spiritually measure and where our righteousness is every day. How well you live for God will directly indicate how much you receive from God. Notice I didn't say how much you attend church for God determines how much you get from God. It's how you live for God. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. The pathway is a daily decision to make up your mind and think clearly. It's to let go of any temptation the enemy would try to put on you to draw you another way. I wish I had one of those messages tonight just to get you all fired up. But I've discovered something. God's called me for nights like this. When no one else will, Lord, send me. Now, I'm not saying there's not willing vessels. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you that if it gets quiet enough, you just watch out. That's probably about the time I'm going to take off. God's called us all for the moments that we're supposed to be in. Now, let's get back on track. We're walking every day. How we live it will dictate how we get it. How we live it, how we get it. Speak life, and you'll get it. Whew. Hallelujah. Speak life, and you'll get it. But if you're going to be old Debbie Downer negativity, Mrs. Negativity, Mr. Negativity, Uncle Negativity, Cousin Negativity, then don't expect change if you speak death. Don't expect a difference if you don't stand in what God has told you to speak over your life. He said, servant, heal thyself. I thank God that when I didn't have anybody else, I could simply say, Lord, it's just you and me tonight. God, it's just me at the end of the road tonight. Lord, I don't know if I can sing another song. There's been times where I looked at my songbook and I just wanted to cry die because my passion had been ruined by every obstacle that was standing in my way. There's been times I've looked at the Bible with dread because I didn't know if I could go through another time of suffering, but I've discovered that my blessings will only come if I open that book again, if I open that Bible again and be who God has called me to be. So you know what? I'm on my way. How many of you are on your way? Amen. You're on your way to something? Hallelujah. You going somewhere? Or have you got stuck on the side of the road? Have we lost our passion for God and are just living from spare tire to spare tire? Have we got to the point where we only call for God in emergency and never serve Him with the passion of our life? I'm here to tell you, most of the time when it gets pretty rough up in here, we have not put our passion towards Him. When it gets pretty rough in here, we have not brought our energy towards Him. When it gets pretty rough in here, we didn't rest enough to come in and to serve the Lord. Well, I had to mow the lawn this afternoon, brother, so you have to forgive me because I'm pretty tired. I had to sweep the floor before church tonight, brother. It was going to be dirty when I got back home. I'm here to tell you, you're going to get what you put in, and if you put in nothing, you already know what I was going to say. I'm going to read one last scripture and I'll hush. You can say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Ecclesiastes 18 through 20. And I'm going to read this in a couple translations. So I'll read it for you King James fans first. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, let me do this in contemporary English. Keep to the middle of the road. Keep to the middle of the road. You can do this if you truly respect God. Verse 19, wisdom will make you stronger than 10 of the most powerful leaders in your city. Verse 20, no one in this world always does right. Think about that. If we'll stay to the principles of righteousness, then we will have more power than those in power. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? If we walk in the righteousness of God, we'll have more power than our boss at work. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If we walk uprightly before Him, then we'll have favor no matter where we are, and we'll have power and authority that leadership will provide. If the king won't bless you when you demand it from him, serve God and He'll move on the heart of a king. If you need something for God to do in your life, in your family, do the best you can to live right. Amen. Don't just come in and shut the house down. Go home and live right. Hallelujah. I feel very plain spoken on this. Don't just come in, dance, and say you're anointed. Go live your life for God the right way, and then you can come in and say you're anointed. I'm telling you right now, we've spent too much time in darkness, and you might think this is a well-lit room, but in the spirit, when we will struggle, we're in darkness. Amen. Keep to the middle of the road. Walk uprightly before God. Walk in His ways. His ways are above. It's above me. We have to, some of us may need to swallow that pride for a second and say, His ways are better than mine. His song is better than mine. His God's sermon is far more than what I could ever do. His church can do far more than we could ever try. At the end of the day, you remember this. Your battle is not in here. Your battle is out there with every day you live. And how you control your thoughts, your words, your anger, your emotions define directly how open your vessel is to be filled. I tell you, for many years, even as a Christian, I had my door so closed. Oh Lord, I had it so closed up. I had my own thoughts about how it was going to be. I had my own beliefs. I had been raised one way. I had never opened the door to God. My door for religion was wide open, of course. You're told a certain thing your whole life, and that's the way it is, and evidently that's what I have to do. I'm glad that somebody opened my eyes with a little sincerity. I'm glad somebody showed me that you can serve God in the fullness of your emotion. I'm glad somebody taught me how to praise Him. I can't imagine going my entire life and not truly being able to thank God the way He deserves. But above religion, above a building, above your membership, above your tithing, above your song, above your sermon, above your teaching, one thing matters above it all: how you live your life when you're living it. I can't change how you live. I can only present to you the potential if you change your mind. I can't make you do it. Whew. We can't make kids mind us sometimes, can we? They want to go their own way. And people will. Your children will. Your body will try to break down. People will come against you. They will forget about you. Joseph got forgot about for a while. But doesn't mean that God changes. It doesn't. I'll say this and I'll close. I appreciate your patience with me. But this ain't me, brothers and sisters. This ain't got nothing to do with me at this point. You've got a way to walk. Let's back up a little bit more. You've only got one life to live. Your minutes have already been defined. Here today, gone tomorrow. One life to live. We can only live it one day at a time. And in each day, we live it one decision at a time. Will I pray today? Will I read today? Will I encourage today? There are many of you that are pressing out and trying, and I applaud you for your efforts. But I'm here to tell you, we as a church, can you say that? We as a church have got to do better. That's across the board. That's not just me. That's not just Brother Mitchell. It might have been blamed on you a couple times, brother, but it ain't just you. And I've had my fair share of blame. I used to think if I just wore a bullseye, it would help people throw their stones a little easier. Here, throw it here. At the end of the day, when you go out of here, that's what I'm worried about. I know you'll be fine if you can take care of your life out there. We won't have to fight in here if we're living it out there. We won't be divided in here if we're unified with God every day. I'm telling you, there's no envyings in that place. There's no jealousy in that place. There's no bitterness in that place. There's no room for judgment in that place. There's no devil, no demon, no ill spirit, no principles of darkness that can prevail when you get up and make up your mind. No weapon formed against you can prosper. That's who it was talking to. Those that walked in his ways, no weapon could prosper. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being pestered by the devil.
Yeah.
So you know what I've decided to do? Every obstacle, Martha, that I come up, I'm getting it as deep as it goes, and I'm saying, Lord, here. Here. I don't need this. I can't do this. I need you in my life. There's some of you right now under the sound of my voice that need to dig down to the very depths of what's affecting you. Oh, I feel this. And get it out of you and say, Lord, here it is. I can't do this. I need you. I feel that all over me, brother. God, take the sin of my life. Take the dark places of my heart. Take the thoughts that are unlike you. And I give it to you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you'll be willing to dig down to the bottom of who you are and let him take it, you'll no longer have to walk around somebody. You'll be able to go through it with somebody. They may still be against you, but the obstacles that were in your way are no longer there. Why do you think it said that he'd make your enemies to be at peace with you? It's not because they changed their mind. It's because you changed yours. Hallelujah. God don't want you walking around in righteous indignation. He wanted you to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, wisdom, meekness. He wants you to walk in things far greater than failure. Are we getting a hold of this tonight? He has called you to walk in something greater than failure. But you have got, well, so let's say it like this. Let's just say it together. I have got to choose which way I'm going. And to get rid of every obstacle in my way. Whew, that's very big. But let me tell you, the kind of people that have change come to their house are the people that get things out of the way. I'm telling you, I never thought I'd be the kind of man that would have ever been fit for marriage. But I'm here to tell you, as God changed my life, he made me into a man that enjoys being married. I never thought that I could ever be tamed down to be able to be a regular church preacher. But I'm here to tell you, God has molded me to have the patience and the drive to keep going. It's not fun. It's not easy. If you ever want to hear about it, come to lunch with me sometime. I'll put you to sleep like I do right now. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it has been worth, it has been worth every single opportunity. It has been worth every single time it's been hard. It's been worth every time it's been tough. You want to know why? Because every time that I move those tough obstacles out of my way, I'm one step closer to what I'm going to obtain. You see, I don't know if you see it over there, but I've spoke some things into existence by faith, and I'm heading on my way over there. And you might not have saw it tonight, but I moved something out of my way that was there before, and I'm one step closer to where I'm going. And my friend, if you'll serve God in the fullness of your heart and live before him in holiness, there'll be nothing to stand in your way. And you'll walk in such a walk with God where he said, speak anything. There were disciples that were walking in such an intimacy with God that they just reached out their hand and lame were healed. Jesus, walking amongst mankind one day, reached down with dirt in his own saliva, placed it upon the eyes of a man who was blind. And he was healed. He went to the leper He went to the leper and walked in such a love towards them that their affliction didn't stand in his way. Amen. Do you walk in such a way with God that there's nothing that will hinder you? That's what I want to know. I can only answer for me. And I'll tell you this, I've got room to grow. I've got room to grow. And I'm ready for my branches and my limbs to grow. And I'm tired of being blown to and fro. I'm tired of things trying to affect my mind and my heart and my emotions and keeping me from God's potential. Because where I'm heading is that place where I can speak whatsoever things that are not as though they are and see them come. In just the few times that I just happened to stumble into doing it right, Doris, we've seen people healed. We've seen people set free. We've seen people financially blessed. We've seen people we pray for get new jobs. We've seen people we pray for have their marriages restored. I know that God can do it. I've seen people in drug bondage be delivered and set free. I've seen young babies with affliction be healed by God's own hand. I know He can do it. But I'll tell you, there's a lot that often stands in the way. And it's not brother such and such. It's not sister such and such. It's not the song selection. It's right here. It always has been, and it always will be. When we accepted the fruit, we accepted sin. Yeah. And that's something that we've got to fight every day. The blood of the Lamb gave you the authority to fight it and win. Yeah. But here's the deal. You've got to make a decision tomorrow. If God gives you another day, let it go. Forgive. And be at peace. God wants you to not walk in failure. He doesn't want you to go around your obstacles. He wants you to start getting down and say, Lord, I know this is in me. I know I need to do better. Show me the way. Because without it, we're truly lost. Each and every one of us. To be lost simply means having no direction. If we're not walking in God's way, we're all lost. We're all in trouble. I love you. Remember, it's what you do out there that changes what goes on in here. Thank you.